When you elect me to this office, I promise to always level with you, to tell you the truth. And the truth, the sacred cause of this country, is larger than any one of us. And those of us who cherish that cause, cherish it so much, a cause of American democracy itself, must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. It's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. There's also a time and a place for new voices, fresh voices, yes, younger voices. And that time and place is now.
What a weird speech. What a super weird speech. It's just, I felt like he was tired. It felt like he wasn't all there. He seemed like he was struggling over certain aspects of his remarks. He had a teleprompter and all that jazz, but he was still kind of struggling over certain parts of it. And he had his whole family in there. I was trying to remember. He had Jill, Hunter. He had one of his grandkids in there. He also had, I can't remember which grandkid it was. I think the littlest boy that Hunter Biden has, or the littlest kid that he has. I mean, they had a half his family that was in there. And it was really, it was a campaign speech in a way. And it was a speech where it felt he was reticent in giving. It was not something that he wanted to give, and you could kind of tell that. But it was a weird speech. I had to watch it and then race to get seated to do Fox last night, so I was really trying to process, you know, his remarks. And I'm just looking at him on my screen, give them, and it was just weird. He looked pasty. There's been so much contradictory reporting as to what happened in Vegas, and I kind of wonder if he hadn't had like another stroke or something. Welcome to the radio program. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this first hour, and you can listen terrestrially coast to coast, and you can stream the radio program. We've got a simulcast that you can watch, Channel 347, Rumble X, all that good stuff. But I watched his address, and apparently wasn't Kamala in there as well. She watched from Houston. She watched from Houston. She had a staffer that was there, but she watched from Houston because she's in Houston giving a campaign speech. Actually, she just gave a campaign speech, even though it wasn't billed as a campaign speech and it wasn't something that was released on behalf of her campaign. She was there on behalf of the White House, and it was really weird because it was just a huge campaign speech. That's all it was. So Biden, his address, I thought he looked bad. I thought he sounded bad. Someone was saying that apparently he has dentures or something, and that's what that lisp is from, because he used to not have that. If you've ever heard his past, ever heard him speak previously, he never had that before.
Yeah. And the internet was good about zooming in on his watch to realize that it really wasn't live what he was doing. There was a lot of conspiracy theory type stuff last night after that speech, because there were a lot of people, just like you're saying now, little confusing, little like, oh, what was that? And geez, that's my president. So where are we right now?
Yeah. So he urged people to back Harris in his address. And he really was trying to make himself sound like Washington. And this is the one thing that I'm going to be honest with you. It just really pisses me off, because I keep seeing this from all these people, all of these talking heads. And we're going to dive deeper into this with their retconning and their, you know, PR offensive, because I told you that was coming. But he, and I'm looking at just some of my notes. When he started out, he framed it as though his withdrawal was defending democracy. that's not defending democracy. He waited until the last minute when it was clear that he couldn't win and he was forced out because he refused still to let go of power. And he, when he immediately, if you didn't watch it, when he immediately started speaking, that's exactly what he was trying to intimate. He was trying to set up this, I am saving the election. He had, and I want to focus on this aspect for a moment, because this is where Hunter gets it. This is where all his kids get it. You want to know where the Bidens get their entitlement? It's from their dad. He started out, and in looking at my notes, he immediately intimated that he said he was saving democracy. He acted like he was George Washington. He has a very grandiose view of what he's doing. And I think he's telling himself this as a comfort because he's been denied. You know, the party machine has denied him. I don't think for one second that this is abusive by Jill. I don't. Although I do think that there's a weird dynamic there. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on about my analysis of how weird I think their dynamic is, because she was like a babysitter when he got with her, wasn't? Didn't she babysit his kids? Like, she was significantly younger than him. And when he lied about how his wife was killed in a car accident, and he lied about it. It was technically her fault. And he acted like it was the truck, or not acted, he said it was the truck driver who was drunk and ran into his wife. And that was completely a lie. He defamed that dude and just made that whole family a mockery for decades. And it was his wife who ran a stop sign and got herself and one of their kids killed. So, I mean, that sucked, but that's what happened. And this comfort thing that he tells himself that it's this grand thing that he's doing is a way to just assuage his rage that he's been denied a second run at this, because I don't think that he wanted to step down. I think he would have continued to do this even if he was on life support. It is a feather in his cap. It is a check in the box. It is a thing on the CV for him. And he wanted to have that. They look at the left looks at the elected office like it's a titled position. And it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing how they view this. And so the first half of his speech, the only thing I could think of was how entitled he felt. He felt entitled while he was trying to act as though he wasn't. So he's saying one thing, but if you read between the lines and really listen to what he said, he was, absolutely saying that he was just, you know, he's doing this to save democracy and to save the election. And he's back with saying everyone else is an extremist and all of this other stuff, and just went on and really lauded himself. And then he didn't even get to Harris towards, I'm looking at my notes here on his remarks. He didn't even get to Harris until three quarters of the way in. He tried to talk about his record a little bit and act like he did something. And I thought it was weird. There's something that sticks out to me, and I'm going to talk about this more. He hasn't done anything to put daylight between him and Harris. And Harris hasn't done anything to put daylight between herself, really, and Biden. And you cannot be a successful candidate and not disengage from that ticket. And there is a psychology there that is very prevalent in the way that voters are reacting to her, which we're also, I've got audio on that we're going to dive into. Voters are reacting to her. They're not doing enough to separate her, and the RNC isn't doing enough yet to define her. And these are two things that's why it's so weird right now. It's just really weird. But he really tried to make himself out like he was the next Washington. And before you think, well, Dana, that might be a little exaggeration. No, they literally were saying this. Let me pull this up. This is one of the thousands of media soundbites that we have. Which one was this? It was MSNBC that was saying that he was like Washington, and they were going on and on about how great he was in his speech. And yeah, I know we have it. We have, just so you guys know, we have a million cuts, which is great. Thank you, Steve. Oh my gosh, listen to this. Yeah, 25 audio soundbite, 25. Listen to this.
George Washington established a tradition in 1795.
George Washington, Harry Truman, and of course President Johnson in 1968.
George Washington in 1795 said, if democracy is going to work, political leaders have to leave power, Joe Biden is doing exactly the same thing.
His decision is one of the most remarkable acts of leadership in our history, an act of self-sacrifice that places him in the company of George Washington, who also stepped away from the presidency.
Joe Biden, on the first night of the Democratic National Convention, in a sense, essentially giving George Washington's farewell address, saying, for the good of my country, I am stepping down and handing over to a new generation, even if it's painful for people who are around him to watch. That is a historic moment that we are never going to forget as a country.
He will be mentioned in the same sentence as George Washington.
You know, this is so weird,
and I made note to the guys on break, it's interesting to note that it was almost exclusively on MSNBC that they said it over and over again, and they said it two times this morning because I saw a couple of other cuts, but you guys get the point. They went over and over about how he is, the next Washington. Steve makes a great point. Nobody compared LBJ to Washington because he stepped down and LBJ was like, I'm not running for re-election. I mean, we played that audio in that video when as a flashback, the day that it came out that Biden was not going to seek re-election anymore. And he immediately went out and got in front of the cameras. Biden and LBJ didn't wait this long either. I mean, the idea of him somehow saving democracy, and just by the very nature of the very definition of the word, the act of the people, it's a process in this republic. We're not a direct democracy. We're a republic, but we have a democratic process in certain aspects of it. And so the idea that he's saving the process by which the people can choose a leader is a joke, because the Democrat Party has eliminated that. They eliminated, 14 million? I can't remember how many people voted in their primaries and caucuses. 14 million votes they eliminated. They disenfranchised so the party machine could pick the nominee. Now, my other theory on this, and I was thinking about this morning, was you could say that it was Biden and his ego refusing to get out of the race and kind of messing it up for Democrats. You could also say that it was Biden helping the machine thwart maybe any other competitor that could not be viewed as an extension of his ego or his term or his platform, etc., and only getting out when the condition was most favorable to him. I mean, there are so many ways to look at it, but looking at it as though this was a Washingtonian thing is one of the most bizarre, backwards things I've ever seen. And I don't know that you could ever break through the mental bubble of any voter or any person who thinks that what he did was courageous or selfless or brave or anything like that. He waited until the last minute, until 14 million voters were disenfranchised, to the last minute, for a candidate that only performs moderately better than him. Now, I'm going to get into some of the polls, because some of the bump that I warned you about yesterday is now emerging. And then I want to warn you also about maybe a plan B, because it's not over until it's over. And the speed with which the Democrat Party cemented behind Kamala Harris is the speed with which the Democrat Party could cement behind a challenger, since she doesn't necessarily technically have it locked up yet. So we're going to get into all of that coming up. Also, the latest with the protests, the pro-Hamas protests, defacing our monuments in D.C. And the VP race, Buttigieg apparently thinks he can be VP. We're going to talk about the major retconning from the media that actually has me kind of freaked out. We're going to cover all of that stuff and the latest with the Secret Service, etc. We have a lot to kind of dive into. It's a busy news week. Do you ever ask yourself how you can work this hard and still be in debt? I mean, the piles of overdue bills, the threatening phone calls, the constant stress of wondering how you're going to make ends meet each month, it just won't stop. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. They've developed aggressive new strategies to end your debt permanently. Zero Debt USA stands between you and the bill collectors. They negotiate with creditors to lower or even forgive what you owe, and they do it all without bankruptcy or new loans. The bottom line is Zero Debt USA has powerful strategies that zap your debt quickly, so you have more money in your pocket every month. But you need to hurry, because some debt solutions are time sensitive and you don't want to miss out. Visit zapmydebt.com and talk with one of their debt relief strategists for free and find out how fast they can get you out of debt. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. Visit zapmydebt.com.
Weird how no one's going after CrowdStrike after their transportation meltdown. While Pete goes after airlines like Delta, no one's saying a word about CrowdStrike. Remember when CrowdStrike also said Hillary's server was hacked by Russians? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in Oregon, now babies come with a nurse. It's born out with them, apparently. No, that's like a thing. And again, I'm so tired of these articles. I would fire every single one of these jackwagon reporters, because you go down here and it's like six paragraphs in. I don't care about these people's life story. I don't care about the mom's side ponytail. I really don't care about any of these people. Just give me the stupid story. And they said that there's an organization in Oregon and they're working with Oregon State to develop a program to push out nurses to help newborns. So that's the big story. And it literally took 15 paragraphs to get to that story. That person should be fired and their lives should be ruined forever for wasting all of our time. Also, do you know, apparently it's also Chili Dog Day and Hot Fudge Sunday Day. I don't know. Apparently it is. I don't know. It is. Wisconsin voters, women voters, we're going to talk about this, were very critical of Kamala Harris. In fact, they had a Wisconsin women's voter focus group, and one of them said that, quote, she's an idiot. I think she's going to have some problems. American flags were burning as Hamas flags were flown in the Capitol yesterday as well. We're going to talk about that coming up. A little short this time, but we went long this last segment. We'll make it up to you. Stick with us. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And Patriot Mobile wants to not only save you money, but they want to give you an opportunity to not have your money work against you every time you pay your cell phone bill. Because I don't know who you have now, but if it's not Patriot Mobile, I guarantee you that you are putting money in the coffers of Marxist policies that you vote against. And that's, I mean, this is all open record. I mean, literally, it's called openrecords.org. You can go and you can look and see. If your cell phone service isn't Patriot Mobile, that's what your money is supporting. And why would you want to be culpable in that? If you're upset about the state of the economy, if you're upset about foreign policy, if you're upset about our manufacturing continued to be outsourced, you need to switch, because Patriot Mobile puts a lot of momentum behind those things that you vote to protect. Not only that, but they're going to save you money. They have a plan tailor-made for whatever it is you need, businesses of all sizes, families of all sizes, singles, dinks, whatever it is. And when you switch, you're going to get the best service in your area. They have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes it easy to switch also. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't get fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
Not able to catch the full Dana show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
If the president believes that it's best for the country that he not be in the Oval Office for another 4 years, how can he assure the American people that he's up to be in the office for the next 6 months?
Well, first I would say is that, and I've heard these suggestions out there. This is not an answer to you. This is an answer to the suggestions that I've had. I've heard about him resigning from office, we believe. And any suggestion of that note is ridiculous. It is not what we believe. The president, I just laid out what the president has been able to do in almost 4 years, and it's been successful. He's been able to do more, again, than any president has been able to do in two terms. He's been able to do that more in one term. And he wants to finish the job that he started and delivering more historic results for the American people.
That was a weird remark from her. She knew. It's not like, well, you know, you're the White House spokesperson. We know how this works. You're in the meetings with not just him, but also his chief of staff, etc., because you have to take your direction on that. That's Karine Jean-Pierre. That was yesterday when she was being asked about this by Peter Ducey. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this first hour. We're going to get into some of the Secret Service and all of that other stuff as well. But this is in all of my career, and looking after the media. And I've hated media even longer than I have been in radio. Even back, like, in the very, you know, like the very first, like, digital publication startup days in the early aughts. Like, I created, like, a anonymously, like, a website to go after media in St. Louis. And I've hated media for a long time. Loathe them. Because they pretend to be this bipartisan entity while professing bipartisan talking or bipartisan talking points. And then they hide behind the veneer of what their job says that they do, and they take offense and they act all offended. And if you point out the fact that they're behaving in a biased manner, no, that's not what my job says I do, but that's what you're doing. And in all of my time with this, it is really amazing to see the media work as hard at accommodating the Democrat messaging. We've seen it before with Obama, and it was pretty bad then. The thing that makes this difference, the difference here, is the speed with which they're doing it. When Barack Obama was running, the media built up to it. This was just an absolute about face because the media did not like her. I think people are forgetting the media did not like her. They tolerated her. They tolerated her as Biden's VP. They tolerated her as this necessary entity because James Clyburn insisted. That's why they tolerated her. That's why no one batted an eye when Joe Biden repeatedly, in interview after interview, lauded her as a DEI hire. He's the guy who said it. He said diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, we want to make sure he promised to pick a woman of color as his VP. He promised everyone when there was a hesitation towards the very end of him not doing it. Clyburn got involved and activists got involved and they essentially threatened him. So you can't get mad at people and the media can't get mad at people for pointing out what Biden and Democrats have publicly stated. The retconning, the speed with which they are racing, I will never get used to that. I can't do an about face like that. I just can't. These people have no loyalty. They just want power or adjacency to it. I'm not saying that there's not people like that on the right. There sure as hell is. But these are people in the media. And I'm amazed at how they're rewriting history to accommodate Democrats in this election. Like, for instance, you know, now you have Karine Jean-Pierre. Well, I heard this. What do you mean you heard? All the people sitting in that room know exactly how much access Karine Jean-Pierre has, not just to the president, but to the campaign, etc. And I don't know, maybe nobody like followed up and said, that's a crock of, you know what, because they all knew it was a lie and they just wanted to get to the next question. You know what I mean? They just like, okay, we know that's BS. Let's move on. I don't know. I want to see more questions asked about the whole border czar thing. And the reason I bring that up is because, and this was smart for Republicans to do. I said last, before we went to headlines, how the Republican Party's not doing a great job at defining her yet, but I think they made a really great step last night because they went after her with regard to the border. I mean, and there were Democrats that I'm pulling this story up. There were Democrats who went in and were also voting against her on that. I mean, that was pretty. She was the border czar. That's how they were condemning her for the southern border. They had a resolution condemning her for the open border catastrophe. And I thought, I know there's not really any teeth with it. We all know this, but it's a step in defining her failures because I don't care what you think. If you're a hardcore Democrat, I'm not, as long as you're believing what you believe because it's based on the truth and you're not blowing smoke up our asses collectively, you know, I'm going to give you less grief for it. But if you're going to gaslight me and everyone else and insist that something that has never happened or that has never been accomplished, in fact, happened or was accomplished, I'm going to get pretty brutal with you. I don't know anyone out there who can sit here and say that this woman has done a single damn thing on the border. And now the media wants to act as though that was never a part of her tasks. You had six Democrats that voted with all the Republicans last night in the House. It was a resolution to condemn her for the open border catastrophe. And now the media is, you can tell this is a weak spot for her because they're trying to say she was never in charge of it. So there were six Democrats that voted for it. and 6 Democrats. Remember, this woman during the primary could not even get to 1%. She couldn't even get to 1% of her own party. So the fact that the media is trying to rewrite her history with the border tells you that's a weak spot for her. And they're working really hard at it. And this is a weak spot, too, for moderate Democrats. And it's a weak spot for independents. What have I told you? Elections are determined in the margins. And the problem at the border has gotten so bad that even moderate Democrats are like, oh, geez, we got to do something about this. By constantly throwing her record on this in their faces, you cannot simultaneously say that she's going to be better on this or a number of issues and then also hold the truth in the position that, yeah, she should be condemned for this. It's one or the other. And I think this is one of the reasons why Barack Obama hasn't yet gone out there and full-throated endorsed her. He doesn't think that she can beat Trump. I don't know if you remember this. I talked about this during midterm elections. This was back in 2010. And I talked about it again in 2012 and 2014. Barack Obama in 2010 was so unpopular in his own party for a spell. I think people forget that he went through this period of crazy. I mean, his negatives were so high. And this was the first 2 years of his term. And he kind of was high on his own supply. When 2010 rolled around, there wasn't, and can you remember this? Because in Missouri, that's when Claire McCaskill was fighting in Senate. She would not even hold a fundraiser with him. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact. They were running from him. They did not want to hold events with him. He had no coattails, meaning he had no power to drag down ballot candidates across that threshold, which is incredibly weird for a candidate who was super popular in 08 when he was elected. And in just 2 years' time, he burned through a lot of goodwill. And he wasn't able to raise money with Democrats. I think he's learned his lesson since then, but he wasn't able to raise money with Democrats the way he is now back in 2010. So nobody wanted to have an event with him. Nobody wanted his endorsement either. People forget Obama's record of endorsement in the beginning. When he was endorsing people, they were losing. They got their backsides kicked in 2010. He himself had to call it a shellacking. After 2010, and he even had a little bit of a rough go going into 2012 with endorsements. But after that, he was like learning his lesson. But nobody wanted it. And the same thing. Now he's learned his lesson and he realized he doesn't want a legacy. He doesn't want to look like a loser. He doesn't want to look like he's picking losing candidates, because at some point, even if you're not on the ticket at that point, or you're not the one on the ballot, if you're backing loser after loser after loser, that becomes a reflection, not just of you, but of your judgment. And it hampers your ability to raise money, which is, that's the kingmaker in that party. It's seniority, yes, but it is how much money can you raise? That's why some of these candidates are fast-tracked quicker than others. And so Obama, it's telling to me that he hasn't gone out and really fully endorsed her yet. Because remember, during the primary, he didn't get in that either. She couldn't even pull 1%. Like, she did not get to 1% in her own primary. I had a listener who sent me an email yesterday and they were like, I actually went back and tried and had to look, because they didn't believe me when I was telling them that she came in behind Pete Buttigieg in the Democrat primary and that she was not even pulling 1%. And they were like, I could not believe it, because the media has you convinced now that she's a powerhouse. That's why you can't believe it. And look how quickly they consolidated behind her. That's a good and a bad thing, by the way. Here's why. It's a good thing for them to be able to be so nimble and consolidate. And that's a good thing. And when you're fighting in war fighting, right, that's a Sun Tzu mantra. You need to be nimble and be able to adapt and be able to move quickly. Right. I get it. But couldn't that be true for a more successful challenger to her? That's why I'm telling you, you can't necessarily think that this is all done yet. Because they have the convention to go through. And these people aren't bound. These endorsements are not binding. They have a whole convention to go through. Indication that you're going to vote for someone isn't you're binding yourselves to that person. And furthermore, you have all of these disenfranchised voters who have been coached to scream about democracy for years, and all of a sudden the practice isn't existent within choosing their own nominee in their own party. I mean, you realize that at some point people can only BS themselves up to a certain level, right? So there you go. Even if it's the seed planted, that's a victory. So this can happen just as quickly with someone else. And that also makes me think, there's a reason why Barack Obama hasn't jumped all the way in. Because he's gotten very smart about that. He learned his lesson the hard way, but he's gotten very smart about it. Kamala has a very difficult road to go. Very difficult road to go. This is not a done deal. And the press can try to rewrite history as much as they want to. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 22. This is that MSNBC Wisconsinite Women Voter Focus Group. Now, this is MSNBC. They didn't go out and get hyper-conservatives. I want you to listen to what these women are saying. This was eye-opening.
When do you think America will have a female president?
When there's a competent one.
I don't get a good feel for her.
I think she's an idiot.
Right.
Mary, why do you think that she's not that bright?
Because she hasn't done anything in the time that she's had. We don't know anything about her as far as her 3 years so far in the White House. She's not real smart.
Oh, damn. And I love the MSNBC host is like, what? You could tell she had no idea what to do with these answers. But she knew that it was going to make for good news, so she kept pushing it. But, and these women just did not care. I mean, these women don't care. They were just like, yeah, you know what? She's a more... And it's not even just that. She has a record in the Senate. And it's so far left before the party really totally shifted into being like the Bernie Sanders party of the squad. She was so far left with her record. She was viewed as inconsequential in the Democrat Party. That's why a lot of people aren't familiar with her record. It's like you're the outlier, the lefty outlier. No one's paying attention to that person. They're paying attention to the person who brings the bill home, that deciding vote, or, you know, the person that changed their mind. They're looking at those headlines. They're not looking at the outlier. She was super far left. And I'm not saying this as a defense of Biden at all. She's to the left of Biden. And he's just a stamp for however they tell him to vote. I mean, she's radical. And so she can't convince her own party. I read this piece over at Politico. It says Invisible Kamala Harris. And they're kind of laughing at her. They said that she's struggling to win over European leaders. And one of the European leaders, let me pull this up, Isabel Schnabel, who's an executive board member at the European Central Bank, was caught on a hot mic saying that she was a failure and that she was invisible. And she said, quote, they should have built up another candidate to her from the beginning. She would never win an election. I mean, that's hopeless. I don't even know her because she's been so invisible, quote. She has no credit with anybody. She has an anemic record. She doesn't even have the support of her base. The media is going all in on her. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
She was never assigned the position of border czar. They're making that up.
I have all the times that we played the audio of Biden saying it yesterday. I feel like we're just going to have to keep that on lock. Yeah, he literally said that. That not only did they... he absolutely said it. I also have polling from when they... That Axios did, this was like months ago, where they included a link to the White House website that said she was the border czar, and then they were evaluating how she was performing on the border. So you can't do that. The media is now like trying to scrub everything. We're going to talk more about this coming up because this is the most dangerous thing to her right now. And that's why they're trying to say it doesn't exist. Stick with us. Black Rifle's the only coffee worth drinking, guys. That ain't no lie. It's delicious coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. Veteran owned, veteran employed. They are a great company. Love the stuff. Love what they do. And with Black Rifle Coffee, you can save 20% right now at blackriflecoffee.com using code Dana. I mean, if you're a coffee drinker like all of us are here, you're going to want Black Rifle Coffee. You're going to want roasted here in the U.S. coffee. Every cup you drink helps the mission to aid veterans and first responders. That's what the mission of Black Rifle Coffee is. Founded by veterans to help veterans and first responders. They get a variety of choices, ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. And you can also get kettles and grinders and mugs and apparel, everything that you want for the perfect brew and more. Join the coffee club too, because you're going to get your favorite roast. You can check how often you want it delivered to your front porch, and then you get free shipping on top of it. So you will never run out of coffee, and it's cheaper than the bougie stuff you would get at the store. So see for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today, get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
We recently learned from the National Security Director, U.S. Director of National Intelligence, that Iran is funding and promoting anti-Israel protests in America. They want to disrupt America. So these protesters burn American flags even on the 4th of July. And I wish to salute the fraternity brothers at the University of North Carolina who protected the American flag against these anti-Israel protesters.
I mean, you know, you got a stark difference. You have the protests that were in Washington, D.C. Steve was telling us that he just lived miles away from, I mean, where he is from in the studios, just miles away from where he lives. And it took him like an hour to get home because of all the protests and everything. But you had people who were burning the American flag, spray painting our national monuments with Hamas's coming. And you contrast that with Frat Boy Summer. And those dudes were protecting the flag. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. Watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, where there's always a chat in X. The riots, they were all flipping out because Netanyahu was in D.C. speaking to joint session of Congress, right? They were being bussed, as they always are, being bussed into D.C. They were being bussed into D.C. And our good friend Julio Rosas has tons of really good footage as well, where they were chasing police officers. Did you guys see the one video? And I saved it, but it was deleted in my bookmark system. There was a cop who's getting like he got separated from the other cops and he was getting tossed around by the protesters. Did you guys see all that? That was wild. They were attacking police. These are pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish protesters. When you're carrying a Hamas flag, you don't get to call yourself just anti-Israel. You're anti-Jewish. They made arrests. The mob was, I mean, vicious. They had to use pepper spray to push the crowd back. It looked insane. And the protesters, they took all the American flags out of Union Station. This is in D.C. They lit them on fire. They lit a Netanyahu effigy on fire. And they replaced all the U.S. flags with the Gazan flags, which is the Hamas flag, because Palestine is not a real place. It's a fictional entity that was created by people who hate Jewish people. And so some people are saying, oh, this is a sign of violence to come this summer. I mean, we're like over halfway through the summer. But I think it's not summer stuff. They're gearing up for election stuff. That's what this is. They need to get out the vote mechanism. And this is a way to do it. You had Kamala Harris who said nothing about these riots, these destructive riots, these attempted coups. And she did not preside over the Senate because she was mad that Netanyahu was speaking, because she's bending a knee to the Dearbornistan voters. I mean, that's it. What statement did she put out? This is a woman who literally advertised and donated to bail funds for rioters post George Floyd. Remember, they were burning down towns, burning down businesses. And I don't know. Now she just was very quiet. It was the Minnesota bail fund that she raised money for. She said, she condemns people who associate with Hamas, etc. You know, she condemns the burning of the flag, blah, blah. She put out a statement. How many things did they say about J6 stuff? How many things did they say about that? No, it's not good enough. A little puny statement, a couple of paragraphs is not good enough. Especially after you raised money through the Minnesota bail fund and then bailed out people who were awaiting trial for very, very violent crimes, including some people were convicted of rape. Convicted rapists. Yeah, so no. This, for people who say that this was in any way that, oh, it's about Gaza and it's about, because I don't say Palestine because Palestine's a fictional place. I don't recognize Palestine as being in existence. It's a fictional place. It's a fictional name. It's not its own ethnicity. It was a name that was spitefully given to that land as an affront to the Jews. It was named after, you know, essentially the Philistines who were from Crete. And it was by Hadrian who did it after the Second Judean Uprising. So understanding the history of this, you realize that Palestine's never existed in all of antiquity. Either it's not noted by the Bible, not noted by the Quran. So I just, like, I don't believe that men can have vaginas. I also don't believe in fictional places on the map. So we call it Gaza. So it was never about that. This was always ever about hating the Jews and hating Israel because that's where Jewish people live. And that's what it's always ever been about. That's why you saw Hamas flags. That's why you saw Hamas flags there. This might be something that gets bigger. And this is also why, again, she did not show up to preside over the Senate as she is supposed to do. And it's why she wasn't there. She just sent out a little statement about it, and that was it. And they said, too, and this is from Julio Rosas, that they didn't. I saw a quick piece on this, too. They didn't make a lot of arrests, and they said they didn't make a lot of arrests because they didn't have a lot of staff. Julio Rosa says they only had 29 officers for crowd control. I mean, I understand that there's not a lot of staff, but only 29? According to the Fraternal Order of Police United States Park Labor Committee, quote, we simply did not have the staffing or resources to accomplish a mass arrest operation. And Rosas notes that D.C. Metro Police and Capitol Police were on the other side of the Columbus Circle, and they did support Park Police, but only after Park Police officers had moved away from the crowd. And the mob chased the police. And then they had to use pepper spray to push the mob back. Can the left stop being violent for like 5 damn seconds? I mean, you guys just shot, you know, try to shoot and kill the president. Can you just stop for 5 damn seconds? Stop being violent. Stop burning stuff. Stop defacing stuff. Stop the vandalism for 5 seconds. Is it possible to not be absolute, you know, poo-flinging barbarians? That's an insult to barbarians. Just stop. I mean, and I'm watching people get arrested, and it's always the ugly people or dirty hippies. Like this one chick who's being arrested, she's a dirty Marxist hippie, and I can smell her through my monitor cane. No. It's like the worst Tom's of Maine sour scent ever. I can just, some things are too strong. They bridge time and space. Do you think the FBI is going to get involved in this? Are they going to chase down the people that have been defacing the national monuments and spray painting threats like Hamas is coming? There's only one response to Hamas is coming. That's the sound of rack and something. That's all I'm saying. But are there going to be any investigations? No, there's not. That's a rhetorical question, because the FBI is only concerned about grandmothers who cast a wayward look at the Capitol on January 6th. They're not interested in actual violent people. Just like they're not really, I mean, I don't really think that the upper echelon, the people who make the decisions, are actually interested about the murderer who tried to kill a former president. I don't know. I don't think. They're going to try to use this to snuff out any kind of controversy regarding the border. All of this, these are all pieces on the board, guys. They're going to use all this stuff as it relates to Gaza. They're going to use this to try to amplify or get some momentum going as a get out the vote mechanism for their side. And they're also going to use it to distract from her lack of support and the condemnation towards her over the border. Kamala Harris over the border. That's what this is all going to be used for. So you'll probably start to see more about it. I would imagine that they're going to have more manufactured riots over it. People who are going to pretend that they're very upset about what's happening in Gaza, even though it's Hamas that's done it to their people, and they're only upset when Israel defends itself. So I can't take any of these people seriously. You know, the people who never say a damn thing about the American hostages that are still in captivity, they don't say anything about that, but they want to go out and be scenesters and make it look like they're, you know, cool or something. And they're going to put on their little picnic blanket and, you know, go out there in the street and act like an ass. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to be used like puppets as a get out the vote mechanism by the left, because that's what the left always does. Just asinine. But that's what they're going to do. And then they'll gaslight you if you try to, you know, say anything about it. Can we talk about the cat thing? Hang on. This is audio. This is a flashback audio. And this is the other thing that they're trying to use. And I've seen this start to bubble up, because one of the, I guess, engagement farmers that Democrats have on social media, this is audio soundbite 29. This is back when J.D. Vance was running for Senate. They got this audio soundbite, and now they're pushing it as a way to stoke female voters on the left. Listen to this.
Saying is that we're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
So people have been getting upset at J.D. Vance. And that's when, I mean, as you can see, he was talking to Tucker Carlson, who was still with Fox at that time. So he was running for Senate. And this flashback audio is now being circulated, and they're attacking him. Like, look, J.D. Vance is attacking women. No, he's specifically attacking childless cat ladies. And then now you got people saying, well, what about those who didn't give birth to their own children? Are you stupid? I have to stop for a second and ask the people who are trying to argue a straw man. They're trying to argue that, oh, well, he's saying if you didn't give birth to your own children, then you can't, as like he's going after adoptive parents. And there's a reason why they're doing this. I'll explain in a minute, which is totally not at all what he said. He's talking about people who have no kids, regardless of how you, he didn't say anything about birth, regardless of how you come across your kids. He didn't mention that. You absolute imbeciles. But why are they bringing that up? Because they're trying to make this an argument about IVF. And then they're trying to make the, because they think that that's going to be a way to jab at the Republican Party. And then they're going to try to circle it back to abortion. That's why they're trying to thread that needle with this argument. But he's right. It is weird that you would, you know, I know people like that. There are people like that who live in our neighborhood. They're like these old Marxist hippies. One guy's an absolute jackwagon. He's like a horrible family attorney who I don't think is very successful. And his entire existence is about stalking the much more successful younger conservative women that would never say yes to his advances, which is why I think he has such an axe to grind. And they have no kids. They have no stake in nothing. And all they do is just that's it. That's their existence. And there are people like that. I know people like that. And it is a little, to me, if you're a parent, you know, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you have godkids, I mean, it is weird to not have to be as vocal as some of these people are, because it's about power for them. They want to boss other people around. It's not about securing their future. It's about telling you what to do with yours. That's their point. That's their mission. and they're mad at him for saying this. And so coming up, I'll tell you, Jennifer Aniston got involved. And it's like, no one asked you. Can you go and do your crappy cable series, please? No one asked you to get involved in it. Go get some more Botox. Nobody asked to get you to get involved in this. I'm so tired of these people who are like, wow, I need an injection of relevancy. Let me sit here and, you know, climb on the back of this like 2-year-old audio soundbite. Just spare us all. Geez, get a hobby. They want to make sure that you are prepared no matter what happens with this economy. You know, like buying $7 for a dozen or $7 to buy a dozen eggs. Gosh, have you seen what milk costs? It's insane. I mean, inflation's out of control. And it's another reason why we have to win in November. Until then, you need to diversify and protect your savings like I've done with top-rated company Goldco. Thousands of 5-star reviews and a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau prove their worth. And they make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They're dedicated to transparency and honesty, no pressure approach either. And they've helped people like us place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. And that's they have an education first approach. So they give you a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit to explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. So visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how to get started today. You'll also get that complimentary wealth protection kit that will arm you with the facts about precious metals. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, what is this? The AI boyfriend business. Ladies, I got a problem here. Men or women doing this, I thought it would be the dudes. But it's not, it's you. Women, a ton of women now apparently are seeking the comfort and connection in relationships with chat bots. So they're female AI users. So these AI companies with these apps have apparently noticed that the majority of their users are women. And they said that they're surging in popularity, and it's there that the AI users, it's the what they're seeking. It's filling the stereotype of these under-socialized men who are talking. I don't know. It's just weird. This is weird. They said that you can customize this, that it's they're treating it like The Sims or Second Life, which are the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life. I could do an entire segment on those. Oh, actually, I think we may have to talk about it. Can we come back to this? Because I am fascinated by this. I cannot believe so many women are seeking out like AI boyfriend companionship. It's AI. It's so weird. I don't know. It's weird to me. All right. A man dies after being struck by lightning on Germany's highest peak. Did he flip off the sky? Like, I'm very curious how this happened. It's it repeatedly, apparently struck repeatedly. These guys were descending from the summit of Zugspitz. Maybe, I don't know, guess that's what they're calling. Yeah, that sounds right. Late Sunday afternoon, they were going to the summit, and it was an 18-year-old. He was one of three young men who was going up. Lightning hit repeatedly. The 18-year-old suffered fatal electric shock. And then the storm, apparently they had a storm, and that complicated recovery efforts. Okay, just be careful on the mountains, okay? The Wienermobile crashed on a tri-state tollway, and it rolled over. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Someone was driving it like they stole it. Probably did. But they said it was a rollover crash. The Wienermobile and a car were both going north, and the Wienermobile struck. This is so weird to say. The big old Wienermobile struck the car, lost control, and rolled over. There were no injuries. And it's just funny to see a giant Wienermobile on a flatbed. I am filled with jokes right now, right? The Wiener's down. Is that what they... I don't know. I'm full of jokes right now. Let's see here. The new Jetsons laws paving the way for flying cars. And that's going to be just a disaster because I've seen how a lot of us drive. We have more in store. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible incredible force, sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds, that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
It's not the Republicans' fault that Joe Biden tagged her with this to some degree in 2020. I mean, it was Joe Biden who laid out the criteria for choosing a vice president, and his two principal criteria were race.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're saying that Joe Biden is made a DEI pick?
I'm saying that he unfairly, because she's qualified, tagged her with that in the first place. And that's not the Republicans' fault that Biden did that to her.
I don't know who that dude is, but he's not wrong. And I think it's hysterical that the CNN anchor was like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, you heard me right. Clean the bleach out of your ears. You heard me correctly. It was Joe Biden that did it. He was the person who made this up. He was the guy who started this whole thing. And I disagree that, well, it's unfair because she's qualified. Says who? Qualified how? Not everyone who's qualified, not everyone seeking the office is qualified. I hate this. Well, because they're seeking office by nature of that, that means they're qualified. That's what that take requires. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh with you at the bottom of the second hour. No, I don't think that she's not qualified. She's just, no, she's not qualified. And it was Joe Biden that did this, which is why I think it's funny that they're trying to distract that with this, like, J.D. Vance. We played it last segment for headlines, where he was, you know, kind of joking that she's, you know, just this cat lady. And then you had Jennifer Aniston come out. Oh my gosh. And this chick will not miss a second to make something about her, apparently. She comes out and she says she was upset. Well, should we play his remarks again real quick so you guys know what we're talking about? Because they're going to try to make this a big deal. They're already trying it. Go ahead and play it. Yeah, play this. This was, just so you know, this audio resurfaced now. It was back when he was running for Senate. That's how, so now all of a sudden they're acting like it's a big deal. Listen to this.
Saying is that we're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
He's not talking about the act of having, of giving birth. He's talking about just you have no children, period. And I don't know if Jennifer Aniston was smart enough to deduce that from his remarks that she's reacting to 2 years later, but because she apparently acts like she doesn't understand what he said. She wrote on social media, she wrote that, I truly can't believe that this is coming from a potential VP of the United States. All I can say is, Mr. Vance, I pray your daughter is fortunate enough to bear children of her own one day. I hope she'll not need to turn to IVF as a second option because you're trying to take that away from her too, end quote. Well, Trump actually has said he is not against IVF, so I don't know what she's talking about, number one. So that desperate attempt to try to make this an attack on that as a way to separate, you know, some of the tent on the right is, that's not going to, that's not a part of his platform. And Trump, as like I said, has already said he's in favor of it. So what are you arguing about? What is your problem? It sounds like you saw something that hit a little close to home and you're taking it personally. And why is this about you? I mean, what a way to just advertise your own neurosis there. No one thought of you as that. And then you just volunteer it. That's so weird, right? This was, again, when he was running for Senate. And it was, you know, it's pretty just wild that, you know, she's saying this now, like now. So she was on her Instagram stories and that's what she was saying, that that's where she made her remarks at. I can't believe. Well, he was not talking about IVF and he's not talking about how you have kids. He's talking about people like you who apparently don't have any kids and want to tell everyone else how to raise their kids and raise their lives and all that stuff. I mean, okay, so I guess it did hit a little close to home for her. And is she upset about that? That's not all the rest of our problems. But it's just weird that, and of course she quoted the engagement farmer that the left uses for this kind of stuff. And I don't know, again, why she brought up IVF, because Trump has said that he's in favor of IVF. So I don't know why she brought that up as a way to say that he was, that Vance was trying to take that from her too. That doesn't make any sense. Kane, what is your thought?
My thought is it's intentional, because the narrative that they're building is that the right is so against all these freedoms. So they don't care if it's true or not. They don't care if there's any honesty behind that statement. They only care to create that narrative as we roll into November.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. But how lame is that? I mean, if you're trying to dispel the notion that you yourself are an angry cat lady, then why would you act like one? I mean, clearly he's kind of, you know, making a joke, but I don't know. Is part of, you know, being an angry cat lady taking everything quite literally as well? I don't know. He's free to make it. And I think he's completely fine with in saying this. And this has nothing to do with, for those who lack the listening comprehension, this has nothing to do with IVF. And he wasn't talking about actually giving birth to your own children, because other people after Jennifer Aniston said that we're trying to make it about adoption, et cetera. It's just so stupid. This is the way the left is. Like, for instance, over at Newsweek right now, have you guys seen this headline? I can't even deal with this. Donald Trump may not have been hit by a bullet after all, says the FBI director. That was one of the things that he mentioned, or that he had said. Oh, my gosh. Did you see the literal, like, shredded ear photo? I don't think we should show it because it is kind of gross, if I'm being real. There's a photo, and there are three different photographers from three different photo services at three different angles that have a photo of his ear, and it's literally torn in half, and it's bleeding. It's real nasty. All of them are nasty looking, so I don't know if we really want to show that, but it's out there if you want to go see it, but it's pretty gory looking. I mean, because his ear was shot. I mean, that's how close he came, and it is weird that that was something that Ray, who's such a jackass, even floated. And because Jim Jordan had asked Ray if all of the eight bullets that this guy fired were accounted for. And he said, well, we know that he lost his life and two other rally goers were injured and that one hit the president. And that's what Jordan was asking. And he goes, well, where did all eight bullets go? And when what Ray said was, quote, as I said, I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that hit his ear. And it is wild. It is wild to me that he is saying, and I mean, you can see his ear. I don't want to show this picture because it's gross.
Oh, because Juan has.
Do we? Okay, go ahead.
I mean, this is
it's, what, guys, I'm warning you, it's gross. Okay. And there's also a photo as well that is, it shows the, I was trying to remember who took it. It was like a Getty photo, I think, that shows a bullet that is going right towards him. And you can see it, you know, it's a round going right towards him. I don't know. This is weird. I mean, you can see like he's missing part of his ear. I mean, it's weird. And then he's got, and Lorraine noted, she's got a picture of his, of the, a Band-Aid that came undone on his ear. And you can literally see a top of, portion of his ears off. So that's how close that came. When I look at it even more, I'm like, that's wild.
Yeah. They have zoomed in video of the moment that his ear was penetrated by the bullet. You'll actually see it happen. And it's actually pretty astounding. I know Juan's about to put up the picture of the actual frame of the video that actually captures the bullet in mid-flight. And I got to tell you, this is a... I mean, the fact
that's the photo right there.
Yeah, there it is right there. The fact that they're trying to create
shrapnel,
this narrative that it wasn't a bullet, or that there was, you know, they're trying to downplay the Trump thing while the whole time they were trying to, you know, exaggerate Biden's abilities.
I mean, they already had the Secret Service spokesperson confirm that it was a bullet and not shrapnel. And they even had Snopes. I can't even believe I'm saying this. Snopes, you know, the very super conservative website, Snopes. Yeah. I mean, it's about as conservative as you can get with Snopes. Even saying, no, it was literally a bullet. There's photographic evidence. There's video of it. I mean, there's, what else do you need? I mean, this is just a stupid political way to try to diminish what took place here, because it's powerful and they're trying to diminish it. They're trying to diminish this, the influence of this. I just, the fact that Ray said that, even, and he said that after Secret Service had already confirmed it, after Snopes, after you had forensics that was looking at the photographic evidence, even looking at his ear, etc. I mean, come on, guys. That was just Ray being a partisan. That's all that was. He was just being a partisan there. It's ridiculous. Now, a few other things, too, to touch on. And by the way, the thing with the Vance thing, I want people to understand this. The situation with Vance and then them reacting to that soundbite 2 years ago from him and Jennifer Aniston. I mean, I got stuff in my own life. Like, I got a new puppy, a rescue pup that we're dealing with right now. And I don't got time to sit here and boss everybody around on their own lives. The point of this is that they're trying to bring this around to abortion and IVF. Well, they're trying to bring it around to IVF and through that abortion. That's the whole play you need to recognize with that. That's what they're trying to do with that audio soundbite. And that's why they brought Aniston onto it. That's why they're trying to do this right now. They're trying to blow that up to eventually make that another way, another front in this, their battle with abortion. That's what they're trying to do with it. So I think people need to not take it personally and realize it for the hit job that they're trying to make it, because that's the whole point of it. That is the whole point of it. And this, and again, 2 years, and the fact that it's just too convenient. It came through their engagement farmer, that the guy that we know worked with a campaign to put out sound bites, and he tries to act like he's just the citizen who writes on Substack. Oh, come on. I can't. We have a lot more on the way, including Bob Menendez. We got to touch on that. We're also going to get into the latest. Well, we got more Secret Service stuff. We also have some of the latest with the protests that took place yesterday in D.C. Biden's speech. Biden welcomed, finally met with Netanyahu at the White House. Did he?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is like parkour to the extreme. MyPanhandle.com, they have a Florida man who is jumping between hotel balconies because he's trying to avoid being arrested. Balcony to balcony, from the sixth floor to the second. He was eventually, Jorge Garcia Palacio was eventually taken into custody. But dude, that's like some serious brass. Right. Six floors to the second floor, jumping between balconies. Okay. Yeah, that's like four floors, and it doesn't look like it was totally easy to do. This is funny. A Florida man was arrested for resisting arrest on a warrant for resisting arrest. He resisted arrest, and he was wanted on a warrant for resisting arrest. And he was trying to escape from officers who were taking him into custody. It was Indian River County Sheriff's Office. Gordon Wanzer. So deputies had to trick him. It was a probation officer that contacted him, told him she wanted to set up to a meeting, and they should meet at Lowe's since they said Wanzer wasn't home. So he arrived, they got out, Wanzer spotted the detective, took off running. They had to tase him to bring him down, but even as they were trying to take him into custody, he was still resisting. And then, so he had a warrant out for resisting arrest and attempted escape. And then he was arrested, and he had tried to resist arrest and attempt escape again. I just feel like maybe at some point you stop that. First off, like, don't do stuff that, you know, you're going to get arrested for, maybe. And then maybe just stop resisting, because he just keeps doing the same thing and getting in trouble for it. So just stop. Let's see here. Oh, no. Can we not? If we have a day of no exposure stories. A Florida man assaults an employee and then exposes himself at a Miami Beach hotel and beach club. We literally had one of these kind of stories yesterday. Yeah. Miami Beach, this guy is facing assault and indecent exposure charges after he violently assaulted an employee. And the police responded to the reports of this guest attacking an employee at the Catalina Hotel Beach Club. I swear this sounds like a Step Brothers thing. And 30-year-old Devis Rodriguez entered the hotel, demanded access to the staff-only computers. He was denied, and he apparently was using them to look at porn. That's what he was doing. Female hotel employee approached him. He punched her in the face multiple times. And then he kept fighting with people outside of the hotel. And then he just dropped his britches and exposed himself and then was making sexual comments towards the employees. That definitely didn't go over well. You know, as you can imagine, that did not diffuse the situation. It
didn't make things better.
Yeah, it didn't make anything better to do that. Like, you know, if you're in the middle of a brawl, it definitely does not work to drop your trowel and, you know, free willy. And then make overt sexual comments towards the people you're brawling with. Definitely does not help. So police, guess what? They arrested him. And I'm sure you'll be shocked to note that he had crack cocaine on his person.
What?
Yeah. And I love, my favorite thing is when it's found in someone's pockets with their fingerprints all over it. They're like, that's not mine. What? Narrator, it's totally theirs.
Who put that in my pants?
Yeah. Who put that in my pants and put my fingerprints all over it? What? Can't even believe it. How does that even happen? Let's see here. I got a couple of others. A lot of people running from arrest. I think we had this one. No, this is new. It's the Villages.
What?
The Villages. That's right.
The Villages?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
The Villages. You can get a DUI driving a golf cart. Do you know that?
What?
Yeah, and like a horse, too.
That doesn't seem fair.
So I don't know how a 21-year-old, because you're not supposed to be in the Villages if you're like under, like, what? Don't they make it, like, if you're 60, you're a baby there. You're fresh meat if you're in the Villages and you're 60. That's what I heard. So a drunk driving suspect in a golf cart led enforcement on a wild as can be chase in a golf cart in the Villages. 21-year-old Christopher Easdale, who lives there apparently somehow, was driving a red golf cart at 1 a.m. all over the place. They saw it. They pursued it. He wasn't supposed to have a golf cart on this county road. And he led them on a slow golf cart chase. And he had 106.116 blood alcohol content. So it was kind of high. Yeah. Double. The Villages. Don't do that there. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
If Kamala will lie to you so brazenly about Joe Biden's mental incapacity, then she will lie to you about anything. She can never, ever be trusted. She can't be trusted. And just like crooked Joe Biden, Kamala Harris is unfit to lead. She's unfit to lead.
I mean, he makes a really good point. If she's lying to you about Joe Biden's mental capability, what would she? I mean, you honestly trust? No, of course you don't. You don't trust her to be honest about anything. And I think that's an actual decent point. And that's one that maybe Republicans should maybe kind of be pointing out to. Don't you think so? To Democrat voters. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour with you, Dana Lash. You can listen coast to coast. Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, X, all that good stuff. I think that Republicans need to work to define who she is a little harder. Even though, I mean, I know it's a scant record, etc. But I think it's important to, audio soundbite one. Because she wanted to get rid of ICE. Kamala Harris did.
Yep.
And the border is what she's the weakest on. Listen to this, because KJP was asked about this. She dodged.
He made, President Biden wants Vice President Harris to be the standard bearer of the party now. Does she still want to get rid of ICE?
You have seen what this administration has been able to do in the past 3.5 years. And they did that with the vice president as a partner in that. And Republicans got in the way. The president went around Republicans and was able to get thousands of personnel at the border. And now we are seeing a 50% drop at the border. And that's because of what this president has done.
What? A 50% drop in the border based on what that president has done. I don't.
50%? So millions?
Yeah, millions,
okay.
Apparently. This is how I think this is the way that Republicans have got to push forward to define her. And I wanted to bring up, because he had a contentious back and forth, as you can imagine, with her. This was really, he was on the border issue. He stayed on the border issue. And I think it's interesting that this is the White House press briefing and all the questions were about Kamala Harris. Audio soundbite two. Listen to this. This is from yesterday.
As a partner, though, she's been in charge of root causes of migration for years. She has never spoken to the Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens or the Border Patrol Chief before him, Raul Ortiz. What should that tell us about her leadership style?
She was supposed to be doing root causes, dealing with diplomacy. Diplomacy. That's what her job was supposed to be. Diplomatic. That's the job. And I understand that you're asking these questions, but we should also look at congressional Republicans who got in the way.
What do you mean? That's neither. What do you mean diplomacy? Remember, Harris had said she wanted to go down and look for the root causes of people wanting to leave crappy countries, probably. That's probably a root cause. It's harder to start a business there. That's probably a root cause. You're not supposed to say that, because when Trump said it, they got really upset with him for saying it. But when she said that she wanted to go and visit and figure out the root causes of this, I kind of had to laugh, because we all know the issue isn't that. That's not our issue. The root causes of it is another country's issue. Our issue is not having an open, porous border and not doing our due diligence by our citizens. That's the big thing. So Biden spoke last night, and I thought he didn't actually give a reason as to why he was stepping down. And KJP, and I want to come back to this press conference, audio soundbite four, she did not help things with this statement before he spoke. But listen to this, because this does not sound like, if you're so confident that you could actually win a second term, why would you drop out then? Listen to her spin here.
The president believes that it's best for the country that he not be in the Oval Office for another 4 years. How can he assure the American people that he's up to be in the office for the next 6 months?
Well, first I would say is that, and I've heard these suggestions out there. This is not an answer to you. This is an answer to the suggestions that I've had. I've heard about him resigning from office. We believe, and any suggestion of that note is ridiculous. It is not what we believe. The president, I just laid out what the president has been able to do in almost 4 years, and it's been successful. He's been able to do more, again, than any president has been able to do in two terms. He's been able to do that more in one term. And he wants to finish the job that he started.
It's not because he doesn't believe that he could serve in a second term, but he stepped down for a reason. Why is that? I mean, I don't know. Speaking of Biden's speech yesterday, audio soundbite eight, He had to go here. He had to pull this one back out of the hat, talking about why he's stepping down as a way to, I think, obfuscate. Listen, audio number eight.
We were in the grip of the worst pandemic in the century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
What?
We came together as Americans. We got through it.
Worst attack on democracy since the Civil War. I mean, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor also happened. But, okay. Oh, man. I don't really believe that a party that doesn't allow for the Democratic choosing of their nominee to lecture other people about democracy. I don't. And then I thought when he started this is audio soundbite nine, I thought actually, when he started this statement, I could tell where he was going with it, and I thought he was going to explain maybe why he's stepping down, why he's passing the torch. And he didn't. He didn't really. How do you get this close to it and not actually say why you're stepping down? Audio soundbite nine.
A cause of American democracy itself must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. It's the best way to unite our nation.
He's decided. He's decided. You honestly believe that he decided? He didn't decide. He didn't decide any of this. If he was so confident about it, he would have stayed. But he saw the writing on the wall. That's the reality of the situation. He saw the reality on the wall, and he knew that it wasn't going to happen. Knew it wasn't going to happen. And so now he's out. There's some momentum now for Kamala Harris. They keep going with some of these. They're trying to look at, I was looking at this Axios poll that's out, and it shows Gen Z voters, but I don't really think you've had a true measure of Gen Z showing up yet. So I don't know about this one. But younger voters typically don't turn out, though. Democrats always say this, and they always get excited about it every year, but it never actually comes into fruition. It never actually turns into anything. And there was this Reuters Ipsos poll out showing a 2-point shift favorability towards Harris, but that's just putting it at 44-42. This is in her favor. But that's, I think that's as much of a bump as you're going to get. And I think, as I said yesterday, a lot of it is relief to not have Biden. You still have 14% undecideds that are going to determine that. As I said, all this is just determined in the margins. They're going to be the ones who are making the determination on that. So I don't know. It's interesting. And looking at this, it's a Axios said, oh, it's a Harris has opened up an early edge with young voters. Now, I haven't broken this. This came out this morning and they said that it's a key component of her path to the presidency, except they don't vote. I mean, that's historical. They literally don't vote. It's an Axios Generation Lab poll. And they said, Trump looks like his efforts at chipping away the youth vote from Democrats is slowing down. That's, again, it's the novelty of having a new candidate all of a sudden in the 11th hour, and that's going to go away, especially when she's put into the grind and the media can try to save her as much as they want to. Republicans need to solidify how she's defined for the public and not give her the chance to do it herself. And the media has already been trying to do it, as we talked about with the border crisis stuff and the borders are. They've been trying to retcon this. The other part of the retconning, and I wanted to pull this up. Where's this at? Let me pull this up. This was wild. I had retweeted this out. So this was GovTrack. Now, GovTrack is tracking the U.S., tracking Congress. And it's supposed to be just like a bipartisan. It's not supposed to be a super zealous thing, right? You should be able to, figure out where people stand on issues without having it spun for you in a certain way. It's Civic Impulse. It's supposed to be an independent entity, blah, blah, blah. They try to make, like it's a big deal about it. Well, they've been scrubbing her ranking as one of the most far left senators. They started erasing it. And Axios has been erasing all of this stuff on their website. They're not the only digital entity to do this. But apparently GovTrack went back and they were erasing her ranking as the most liberal U.S. senator. And this is according to a couple of different folks, including NRSC and independent journalists as well. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan third party thing. They ranked her as the most liberal senator in 2019, and they removed that page from their website. And people were saying that's them scrubbing her history and trying to rehabilitate her as more of a moderate. I mean, she was ranked most liberal compared to all senators. And there are screenshots of the page that exist. And she did, it was a CBS interview that she had. Let me pull this up. If we can, I know, sorry, I'm going to put this in Slack. There was an interview that she gave with CBS where she was told, you're the most liberal U.S. senator. And this is back during, in 2020 when she was running with Biden. And she said, oh yeah, it was Mike Pence. Somebody said that it was Mike Pence on the debate stage. And CBS said, no, actually it was GovTrack that said it. And she had no idea what to say to that. So now GovTrack has erased that page. I put that, if we can play that real quick. That was just from 20. That was from 2020. Listen to this.
In the policies that you've supported in the past, you're considered the most liberal United States senator.
I somebody said that, and it actually was Mike Pence on the debate stage. But
yeah, well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for all. You're very different.
She just stared. She had no idea what to do. She just had that goofy, like, and then she just sort of stared. So CBS was like, no, that was GovTrack that said that. Well, now GovTrack is erasing it. They've erased it. The retconning. It's major retconning. They've erased it. The only thing that exists now are if it's Wayback Machine or the Border Czar. I mean, they were trying to say, oh, no, it was only the right that called her the Border Czar. Axios 2021 had a story. They had another story this April. You had the Hoover Institute. She was a Border Czar. CNBC called her a Border Czar. They are really, they're, that is straight up full on Soviet. And Axios, Red State caught Axios scrubbing their stories. They were scrubbing their stories. Any story where it mentioned that she was a border czar or in charge of the border. Remember, they had to put that little disclaimer, that little correction on one of their stories yesterday. Now they're scrubbing all of their stories. They're scrubbed. This is brave. This is 1984. That's exactly what this is. This is unbelievably creepy.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Explosion and fire at the Jose Cuervo tequila factory. No! No! Save the Cuervo! Mexican officials say, he's like, is everything okay? Six workers are not. They were killed in this explosion and the fire at the tequila factory. Others injured in the, there were two others injured. Casa Cuervo is the world's largest producer of the, of tequila, according to the website. It encompasses the Jose Cuervo and Tequila 1800 brands, among others, and it involved the explosion of a tank car. Another fire broke out the next day in the storage area, but that was quickly controlled. It was cardboard and paper stuff, and there were no injuries from that one, but good night. A top Russian economist just accidentally fell out of a window. Killed him. Killed her. I'm sure it was completely accidental, you know, like the headline says from Pravda. Valentina Bondarenko. Yeah, Bondarenko. She fell out of a window. And if Newsweek could stop their stupid pop-up ads, she was a leading research fellow at the Institute of Economics of the Russian Academy of Sciences. It was on Monday evening. And they said she just fell out. It wasn't possible to save her. The injuries she received were incompatible with life. That is a very robotic way to put it. So, yeah, they said it wasn't of criminal nature. She was sick and she just fell out of the window. You know, because what person doesn't lean out of their window in their apartment building like that accidentally and just falls, you know? Let's see. This JetBlue passenger claims that their cancer returned after a spat with a flight attendant over an emotional support bulldog. Stop it. Osinka, another Russian. This woman said her cancer came back because she had to fight with JetBlue over her emotional support dog. I think that's pretty unscientific. I don't think that's how that works. We got a lot more coming up, including real quick, a talk with our friend Rick Ector on free firearm lessons.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour of this crazy week, and we all need a vacation after this week, quite honestly. And there's a lot of stuff to come in November. We're covering all of that real quick, though, because we talk about this every year. And I think it's incredibly important, especially considering the crime rates. You know, if anybody kind of pays attention to the crime rates and, you know, you kind of pay attention to, you know, statistically, who is it that's kind of preyed upon a little bit more? Women over men. I'm so glad that my friend Rick Ector does this every single year. This is the 13th annual that he's, this is 13 years that this man has done this, and this is amazing. It's Legally Armed in Detroit. It is a free shooting event for women. Now, the last day to register is today. The event is on July 27th and 28th. So if you're in Michigan, You're in that area. You can take advantage of this. You can find them on Facebook at Michigan CCW. On Instagram, it's Detroit CCW as well. LegallyArmedInDetroit.com is where you can register. And my friend Rick Echter, who is the CEO of Legally Armed in Detroit, joins us now via Skype. Rick, God bless you. Good to see you, my friend. 13 years.
13 years, 13th annual. And we didn't take any years off. We still did it in 2020 and had our biggest, best year when we had just under 2,000 that showed up for that weekend. And pardon my manners, good afternoon to you.
No, that's amazing. That's part of the manners, the celebrating 13 years of this. This is awesome. You've trained, looking at the numbers on this, over 10,000 women in over 12 years in how to protect themselves, how to protect their families, how to protect themselves and their families at home. And that's amazing. They get a free safety briefing. It's a free shooting lesson at the gun range. You go through all of this. You take away any of the hesitation. You make it a very comfortable environment for these women to come out. Even if they've never fired a gun before, they feel welcome. They come out, they learn, and they learn self-defense. 10,000 women. How many this year?
You know, I'm optimistic that we'll get at least 1,500. And you know what? If you can keep a secret, I'm secretly hoping that 2,000 will come out, but we'll see how it goes. If you know, and here's my pat answer. If we only train 50 women, there's still 50 more that would have been trained. Well, we have a ton of people who've already are signed up, and I technically could halt registration right now and would feel pretty good. But we want to train as many women that see this appearance and who are curious, and get them trained and to empower themselves and to protect their family.
I love this. And you can also find it. We'll put all the links up there over at GoFundMe. And it's going to be conducted at Recoil Firearms in Taylor, Michigan. And one of the things that I hear a lot, that I've heard a lot from ladies over the years, and Rick, I'm sure you've heard this too, you know, even, you know, maybe their husbands or their sons or their brothers or their dads go to the range, whatever. If they've never gone, and yet they see the news, you know, you see, you know, crime's up, you know, and when economic times are tough, you know, crime also kind of follows that. It gets a little tougher out there. And they want to make sure that they're protected. They don't want to feel unsafe in their homes. They don't want to feel unsafe walking to their car after work, anything like that. And yet it can be a little bit daunting. If a woman has never fired a gun, if she has never carried before, it can be a little overwhelming for ladies. How do you approach that first time? You know, the woman is going in there, maybe with her friends, maybe by herself, first time, she knows nothing. Tell me a little bit about that, because you make it such a great experience for them.
Well, you know, the way that the whole event is orchestrated, how it's laid out, the fact that it's only women, and I try to get as many women firearms instructors to help me conduct the event, it takes away a lot of the perceived intimidation of learning this great new and applicable skill for staying safe during these increasingly perilous times that we're experiencing these days. We have a lot of photos from previous years. They're all women, and I have these photo albums, and they look and they say, well, gee, they've done it. Why can't I do it? And one of my favorite children's stories is Green Eggs and Ham. You know, just try it.
Try the Green Eggs and Ham. I talked with our friend Rick Echter. Now you confirm this for me. This, because I've brought this up like anecdotally before on the program. Women versus men, when it comes to taking instruction at the gun range, women take instruction at the gun range better than men. True or false? I may be putting you on that.
The stereotype is that you can't tell a guy anything. You know, he thinks he knows everything. And in this context, it's true. You know, women, you know, if they don't have any training whatsoever, they approach it openly and honestly, and they're like the perfect sponge. They will actually pay attention. And get this, in this context, they do what you actually tell them what to do, and they actually perform admirably.
I love it. So see, King, because we've had some people say, no, I don't think about that. I think the men would. I don't know. You heard it from Rick, and he's been doing with ladies like this for 13 years now. So I think he would know. He's kind of the expert on this. So the 13th year, trained over 10,000 women over 12 years on how to protect themselves. And by the way, I want to add, this is 100% free for the ladies that go out to participate in this. Free. That's
no
awesome.
No range fees, free gun access, ammunition, target, earplugs, safety glasses, We have it all covered. We do everything but pay for a babysitter.
That's awesome. I love it. That might be something that at some point they incorporate. Who knows? Who knows? They keep growing every year and adding more and more ladies to this. Rick, what is the number one thing that you hear from women who come out to these programs and they go and they undergo this training? What motivates them to go out and do this?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, they're still clued into the media and they see what happens in their local communities on the nightly telecast. And they have this sense of dread as they go about their lives and they try to filter it out in some ways, pretend like some of this foolishness doesn't exist. But they know deep down inside there's this perception, this fear that something bad could happen. And by the time they hear about the event, when someone is ready for something, a solution will appear. And for many people, they have the experience of telling me that when they hear about this event, that they're ready because it's like a concern that's been on their mind for such a long period of time.
And I'm sure that you've gotten a lot of referrals from women who have gone through these programs before, and then the next year, some of their friends are showing up doing the same thing.
Ladies that have gone in prior years, you know, they're welcome to come back in future years. But typically, if someone comes one year, they might take a year or two off, but eventually they'll find their way back to the program. And here's the thing. They tend to bring a lot of friends and family members with them.
That's awesome. That is awesome. People can find this at Legally Armed in Detroit to sign up and register. And then you click the link that it represents the day and the time that you want to join. And the last day to register is today. And the event is on July 27th and 28th. My friend Rick Ector does this every year. It's the 13th annual Legally Armed in Detroit free shooting event for women. And it's just growing and growing. You might have to expand even beyond Michigan at some point, Rick, because this just keeps growing in popularity.
You know, it's interesting that you met that because I did one version of this event earlier this year. And in June, we actually went down to Dallas, Texas and did it at the Frisco Gun Club.
That's
and
awesome.
We trained for the first year at that location. We trained 400 women. So maybe they'll invite us back next year and we could try to expand upon that down in Texas.
I would love that.
This is the mothership here at the Michigan location in Southeast Michigan, Metro Detroit. Dana, I am so honored, glad, and thankful that you've invited me to be on the show again to talk about this program. And I'll tell you, I am going to find you at one of these national gun events, gun rights events one day, and give you a big hug and shake your hand for all the support you've given me over the years promoting this program. I truly appreciate your friendship, and you're an awesome person.
Well, I'd be honored because, Rick, you're going out there, you're doing amazing work, and you're empowering so many women, and you're making them confident in their ability to defend themselves and their families to go about their day, and I think that's so incredibly important. I mean, you're out there empowering a lot of ladies, and that is fantastic, and you're also, it's freedom evangelism. You're out there showing them you can do this. This is how easy it is to do this, and you can be your own self-defense. You can do this. So God bless
be
you.
Be your own first provider.
That's right. I so
be
appreciate
your
you
own
doing
first
this.
Responder.
Think about this. This is over 10,000 women that are not going to be victims, and they are going to be protected. They're going to be able to defend themselves, and they're going to have the know-how. They're going to be developing the skill set to do it. And that is a gift that, you know, I don't think that people can thank you enough for doing that. Rick Ector, you can find it at Legally Armed in Detroit. Is there anything else that people need to know? I know today's the last day to register.
Anything else? Oh yeah, there's just one prerequisite. I said I have most of the items covered. All you need to do is come with an open mind and a positive attitude, and we will take care of the rest. And we'll take a picture with you with your target, your silhouette, and you can post it on social media and help us get the word out for next year's event already.
I love it. I love it. Rick Ector, that's Legally Armed in Detroit. You can find it on Facebook, Instagram, legallyarmedindetroit.com. That's where you can sign up. And it's July 27th to 28th. Today's the last day to sign up. So if you're in the area, ladies and gents, too, to have the ladies in your lives, go and sign up. They're going to learn a lot from Rick. And Rick is he's a master teacher. And God bless you for doing this, my friend. We're so grateful. And thank you for coming on and talking about it, too. I'm so glad because we got a lot of affiliates up there.
Thank you for letting me show up. Thank you for letting me be here. I appreciate you, and I thank you. And have an amazing weekend. I know it's a little early, but you know what? We have a ton of stuff that you need to talk about because it's been a crazy time when you were off last week.
I'm telling you what, right? When I can't leave. When I leave, everything goes crazy. I'm never allowed to leave. I mean, what? Every single time I'd like look at the airport, something crazy happens. So I'm just glad that you're here, my friend. God love you. Rick Ector. Find him on X as well. It's Detroit CCW. And I know we'll be talking again soon, my friend, and I will see you at one of these events. Thank you.
All right, take care, and thank you again.
You too. Bye. Of course. Thank you, my friend. And you can find that, folks, at Legally Armed in Detroit. And it's something to think about. That's 10,000 women, over 10,000 women, who are not going to be easy targets. That's amazing. Think about what that does for crime statistics. Think about what that does for, that's true empowerment. When you hear female empowerment and all this other stuff, that's true empowerment. It's amazing. 13 years. All right. We have more to come. We have Today in Stupidity on the way that we're going to get into, and we're going to hit all the other stuff that we weren't able to get to yet so far in the program. And in the meantime, make sure you do sign up at Chapter and Verse over at Substack, because you're going to get a lot of good. You always get a lot of good stuff out of that.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doing okay, thank you.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Ooh. Well, you guys haven't had a press briefing since President Biden dropped out of the race. So.
The president hasn't been.
That's been over a week, so, well, it's been a week. That was actually pretty good. Because she comes in, she's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. Hi, Peter. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, there you go. That was actually funny. Welcome back to the program. That was actually really funny. So this is one of the other things. We got time. Can we hit 15 real quick? Because I was reading this piece. It kind of seems like Buttigieg thinks that he could be the VP. And it was just weird. Listen to this. He did one interview. I found it on Mediaite. And then this is to Neil Cavuto yesterday. Listen.
All right. So I kind of see where I'm going with this. But your name has been mentioned on a short list of those she might consider for vice president. So I'm going to try to ask this in a weird way. Could the Transportation Department afford to lose you if you joined a Kamala Harris ticket?
I admire the creativity of how you tried to get me into this, but I just can't talk about campaigns and elections here. What I will say is, you know, as a government matter, I'm proud of the work of the department, and I'm proud to work with the leadership of the president and
what
the
does
Vice
he
president.
Do? Could the Department of Transportation do without you?
Yes.
That's like asking someone, could you do without your hemorrhoids? Could you?
I don't know.
Right? Could you do without that? For real. I don't know. He kind of thinks that he does sort of look at himself as like VP material. If he were honest, he would have said, you know what, Neil? I just think it's an unfair question because I'm so uniquely unqualified for this position. That I can't even imagine doing a position that requires more work than this one because I'm way in over my head here, Neil. I can't even tell you anything about what I do. I don't even know where I have to go. I don't even know where I go every day. If he was being honest, that's what he would say. He would say that. But he's there because he's a DEI hire. Let's be honest. I know Democrats get mad when you bring that up, but it's just it doesn't make it any less true. He's there because he's a DEI hire. Just like how they said that Kamala was a DEI hire. Now they're mad because everyone's quoting them saying that Kamala was a DEI hire. And they literally had it on whitehouse.gov that she was a DEI hire. They literally said DEI, but they spelled it out. So, you know, I feel like I'm going to bring that up 6 ways to Sunday. I feel like we should talk about that more and the border more now that I think of it. Yeah. Because it's not an attack. It's just simply observing what they've already said about her. And as Kane noted, wait, I thought DEI hirings were a good thing. Isn't that the point of DEI? So if you're engaging in the DEI, why is it a bad thing now if somebody points it out?
Right.
Unless it's a bad thing to begin with.
They keep trying to tell us how great it is. How
yeah,
DEI
they're always
is the,
like, DEI is so great.
DEI is the way out.
How dare you say someone's a DEI hire, but it's so great. All right, Today in Stupidity, Kane, sorry.
It is Karine Jean-Pierre. This is her claim.
No. Who's your favorite person?
We all know what kind of President Biden's been, but this is the president they want you to think he was. Listen.
This is a selfless act, something that very few politicians would ever do. President Biden will go down in history as one of the nation's greatest presidents.
What? Did she accidentally get some of Hunter's booger sugar? Because there's no way anyone says that with a straight face.
He'll fall down in history, but it won't. Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah, no way. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Find us at Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. We're going to finish out this weird, wild week tomorrow and get you set up for whatever the weekend may hold. Have a great night. Back with you then.